Blog Talk Radio.
Over our notes and just trying to, okay, we're getting ready for the show. We just got to be in a certain mindset. The minute that theme comes up,
we get
happy. We're getting that Charlie Brown kind of dancing.
We get dancing.
And I see, welcome people. Thank you, Nina Simone, once again for leading us in with that wonderful tune. And welcome to another Wednesday, another 1 o'clock, another She's Raising the Bar. And thank you for joining us again. Yeah. You make it happen, people. You make it happen.
You make me so.
Oh, it's you make me feel like a natural woman, if that's what you were going for, Elise.
Very happy.
Oh, you've gone blood, sweat, and tears.
Yeah.
It's very hard. Very hard, my darling, to distinguish.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Welcome aboard, people. Welcome to Wednesday. It's not really fall yet, is it?
Friday
is the first day of fall. That's
yes.
Right. September 22nd is the
first day of fall.
I think, I don't know. I always thought October 22nd was the first day of fall.
It's different every year.
I don't know. Because technically I'm a fall baby.
Let me see.
November 19th.
Fall baby?
Yes, November 19th. I'm technically in deep fall. Because winter doesn't really start.
Friday is the 22nd, yes.
I know, but is it the official start of fall? That's what
yes,
I'm asking you,
first
darling.
Day of fall.
Okay. Then I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied with your answer.
Yeah.
You didn't need a lifeline. Welcome, people. Welcome to She's Raising the Bar. And we have a great show today. But first, before anything else happens, let me not be rude. Let me introduce the main cast of characters. To my left.
Yes,
always to
is.
My left. Always to my left and very close to my heart is my lovely...
That's me.
My lovely co-host, Lee Siegelman. Yeah.
Thank you.
And Laurie Towers is me. And you are going on a little journey with us.
It's quiet.
I know. You know what? I tried to overlook that. And deep inside, I'm hurt. But I will recover and I will move on. And we have a great show today. First, Lee, anything new you want to talk about? Anything new you want to say?
Shana Tova to all our Jewish listeners.
Not yet. I was going to say it at the end of the
show.
Well,
I'm saying it now. What's the difference? Listen now.
Uncle Max taught me
Stop. Well, either way, it's
Uncle
not going to be
Max,
that time anyway.
I'm just saying. I was going to do that before.
Big Uncle Max. So daytime,
Uncle Max.
Nighttime.
It was big. He taught me well.
I understand that. But we don't have time tonight to wish everybody.
I'm
going to wish them now.
We'll do it at the end of the show. But you did it, and I'll do it again.
Okay.
All right.
Whatever. Go on.
Today's show is great because, you know, I try to keep our show and our panelists, our usual roundtable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people always love our roundtable and our regulars, Nancy Donahue. We have Winter Gabriel, a big favorite, and we have Mirav Livery, and she's coming on. And this is going to be a great show because, you know, I always try to keep, much to your disagreement, I always try to keep the theme something that's topical, something that makes sense to the theme of our show, which is certainly women's empowerment. And a couple of weeks ago, about 5 o'clock in the morning, we're up early. I was flipping something on the screen, and I came across the new version of Carrie,
mm-hmm.
not the one with.
We saw that in the movies,
and I forgot that.
Yeah.
I mean, the one with Piper Laurie and Sissy Spacek,
that's the old version.
I think that's the classic.
Right. But I don't think they did a bad job with the new one. I think we enjoyed it.
They didn't. And the thing about the new one that I liked is it got a younger audience just because of the cast. I don't know anybody else really but Julianne Moore, who played Piper Laurie,
yeah.
who plays the fundamentalist.
Right.
And I think the most important thing about this movie, as I was watching it and I was doing work at the same time, I was thinking, as much as, and Brian De Palma did an amazing job of taking Stephen King's script and taking the pulp out of it, making it really potent, and grasping every part of the supernatural texture that you want. And I'm not saying anything against him as a director, but the theme of this movie, I think the main feature was, it had a supernatural feature to it. It was about bullying.
Mm-hmm.
It really was a bullying in the worst way. It was about female oppression. And when you think about it, if you follow the movie Carrie, it's this beautiful young girl who was certainly an outcast and a lovely, lovely
girl.
But
I'm going to step it backwards.
Go ahead.
Because usually in bullying, her mother made her feel very inadequate. That doesn't happen.
And you know something?
In bullying.
And this was just my point. The oppression began at the hands of her mother.
Right.
She was the first one.
That usually doesn't happen. The mother usually says, you're beautiful,
hopefully,
you're great.
Hopefully. In the idyllic sense, most people have a mother or a parent
mm-hmm.
that cherishes you and says you're the prettiest, you're the smartest,
right.
you're this, you're that. Unfortunately, it doesn't always come out that way. And in this movie, the mother certainly was mentally ill and a religious zealot, and her daughter was tortured to a point that
exactly.
It affected her throughout her high school years. And
but again, being a movie, a parent that does that to a child usually develops a bully.
Well,
in real life.
But it didn't. It didn't in this case.
No, because it's a movie.
No. In this case, her daughter was a shell of a person who felt inadequate and went out into society.
Right.
And I have to say something. As I watched that movie, and I've seen it thousands of times, and I adore the movie, I have to say I'm privileged never to have, and I'm going to say this in a two-sided way, I've never been victim of to that,
mm-hmm.
and I've never been the giver. Because I think that when you're a victim, you certainly
were never,
are them.
You were a bully?
No, never.
I can see you being a bully.
But see, if you bothered me, yes. But I would never just pick on somebody who was different. Tell you why. As much as I certainly was, I always fit into that tough chick motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
My mother's feelings, and I was raised by a single parent, my mother's interpretation of me mattered greatly. And when she said, if you do this, you'll embarrass me, that stopped me in my tracks.
Yeah.
I never wanted to ever step over that. So we were raised, my brother and I, to embrace people, different cultures, different religions,
mm-hmm.
different sizes, different pigmentations. And it was never allowed to, I mean, jokes of, like, you know, making a joke about somebody's ethnicity, never allowed in my house.
Right.
Saying somebody was, never allowed, we never were allowed to, you know, make fun of anybody. So that always stayed with me. So when I was watching this movie, and it's amazing because that shower scene comes in, and you've seen the movie, and you saw the second
mm-hmm.
with me. 15 minutes into the original movie, it's like the director, Brian De Palma, makes you so uncomfortable because it takes you from, you're introduced to Carrie, and she's made fun of because she's playing volleyball or whatever it is, and she's just a softball, whatever it was, and she's just terrible at it. She's just
mm-hmm.
absolutely terrible at it, and her teammates are making fun of her. That's the first 10 minutes of the movie. Then it walks you into the shower, which you're very uncomfortable because it's 1977,
right.
and so it's like it's kind
well,
of
she got her period, right?
Yeah, it's kind of sensual, so you're kind of already like uncomfortable with that, and then it goes, and if you look at the symbolism of water, it goes from being
right.
cleansing
right,
to being something
dirty.
Something that's suffocating her and something that's confining. And this poor young girl has a period, and she's not prepared. Her mother did not inform
right.
her what's going on in her body. And these other girls attacked the other girls who were still upset that she made them lose the game.
Well, the cheerleaders.
Right. They made her lose the game.
The pretty girls.
And they just attack her. And I have never, in any of, I have to say, I'm privileged. I've never seen young women behave like that. And certainly it happens.
Again,
it,
I think it
happens.
Was more, you know, more put out there because
possibly,
it was a movie. They
possibly.
Made it more, you know,
I
outlandish.
I would like to think so.
Come on.
But the movie Mean Girls came out.
Yes.
For a reason.
Well, you know what? It took you into the mind of the mean girl and the regular girl, because they gave you insights. You know,
mm-hmm.
You heard her talk, which was great. It was like these reality shows. They take you in the corner and they make you speak your mind and you
yeah.
know whatever your thoughts are, and that's what Mean Girls were. It was, you know, you took the mean girl
mm-hmm.
and you put her, you know, into a girl that's normal and she's just talking and telling
See.
You why does she do that. It was like walking into a zoo or stuff like that. But I think Carrie was a little over the top.
You know what?
Over the top.
I want to think it was. Because
it's a movie.
Again,
you know it was.
Everything has a kernel of truth.
No, of course.
I would
it's
love
taken
to
from
think,
the truth.
I would love to think that we don't behave like that. But unfortunately, and this is what today's topic is about, it's about trying to figure out how to make a female society work cohesively
mm-hmm.
and not reduce us to when we're in trouble, we're like a pail of crabs climbing over each other to save ourselves. How do we create an environment where cattiness doesn't exist?
It's impossible.
I don't think it's impossible.
Impossible.
No,
there's too much estrogen sometimes in a room that women hate each other.
No. I don't. I see. This is why I disagree.
She's holding her finger up
this
at me, people.
This is why I disagree.
She's holding her big finger
because
up at me.
We're taught, and this is what we're going to go into today. We learn at the feet of our mothers,
mm-hmm.
usually.
We do.
Okay. And fathers, too. I mean, but I'm just talking about the
same. We learn and we absorb what they taught us, and then
be,
we take it in a different way.
There's got to be something different that we could do to make this society of women stronger. Because there is...
I think it all stems from parenthood.
Right. There is the privilege of strength in
mm-hmm.
numbers. And that's why I love, as much as I hate what's going on with this administration,
mm-hmm.
it's causing people to assemble. It's
yeah.
causing
Take
women
sides.
To create a cohesive environment where we push back, and we push back with enough formidable strength that
I think because of the administration now, we're becoming stronger.
The
women are sticking together more.
And I think that's
it's a good thing. It's a
negative.
Great thing. But we should have always been like that. It doesn't
see?
Have to be this
that's
way.
That's exactly right.
Well, women are catty and women are jealous
but see,
and women are, you know.
But see, this is my point. Now, if we're not raised with cattiness, if we're not raised to be pit against each
mm-hmm.
other, we won't do it.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. How do we create...
Environment. Environment is a big factor. It's a very big factor.
But see, now, my thinking is with my mother.
Mm-hmm.
I was raised to know that. Again,
if you had a father, you think it would have been different?
It's very hard to say how the dynamic
right,
would
exactly.
have changed.
So,
but
that's
I'm
the
just
way
saying...
I'm just saying every dynamic of a family is different.
But there was something that my mother did, and if she's looking down now, she's shaking her head, oh, she was an impossible kid, but there
mm-hmm.
was something that she did that made me realize, and you know, the funny thing
stop
is...
Stop at a certain time.
Three of our panelists are Aquarians. Nancy's an Aquarian.
Oh, wow. They're all Aquarians.
Winter
That's right.
is, and Mirav is.
Right.
There is something about, and my mother, rest her soul, was an Aquarian.
Mm-hmm.
There is something
and my daughter.
About... Right. There is something about the humanitarian
yes. they love
aspect
everybody. They
of
love everybody.
That certainly hit me in a place where
mm-hmm.
I could embrace it. And my brother and I, my brother's an Aquarian. This is our lives. We don't make fun of people. We try to help people. We don't ever try to leave people out or hurt them.
Right.
So,
well, it's listen. I wish everybody would have thought that way, but people don't think that way.
You know, they think that this is the time where
well, we can't make everybody same old. Everybody
no.
has a different personality.
Absolutely.
A different upbringing, different, you know, environment, different, you know, money status. Everybody's
of course,
different.
Absolutely.
Everything, and it comes
and
into...
And everything affects everything else.
Right.
I totally get
you can't,
it.
Like,
totally
all
get
be
it.
The same.
I totally get it.
So
I totally
we
get
all
it.
See different perspectives.
Is, and that's beautiful. I think that's beautiful. But the idea is, it's got... You know, above all, do no harm. I mean, I think that's got to be, I mean, that's certainly, you know, a doctor's mantra, but it should be for mankind in general. Above all, do no harm. I mean, end your day without harming a human being. I mean, I think that's what we should be thinking of.
We should be.
Maybe we're not making, but we didn't hurt anybody as we're walking along our road to life. And I think our panelists are on with us one at a time. Let's see who's there.
I'm pretty sure. Is this Winter?
Winter?
Hello.
This
Hi,
is
I know your number.
First Winter, Gabriel.
I'm
going to
bring on,
up.
I think it's Nancy.
I think it's on Nancy.
Nancy?
Hey, guys. How are you?
There you go.
Nancy, my love, how are you?
I'm really great. I'm terrific. Thank you.
Bring on Mira. How are you?
Perfect. Oh, bonjour. Chana Tava.
Our French ladies here.
Our French ladies here. Now, ladies, I think that you, most of you were on as we were going into our little dialogue of today's show. And I think, Winter, we're going to bring you on first because
you have something, a story to tell us.
You had mentioned on your social media posting that at 16 you were a victim of bullying. So I think I want you to take the floor first.
Okay, sure. You know, I actually experienced bullying by transferring from a private school to a public school, where all of a sudden, you know, I realized that there was a certain way to dress, there was a certain hairstyle to have, and there was a certain group of people that if you weren't friends with, you know, you needed to be friends with them, and if you weren't, and if you were different, you were bullied. So as a third grader, I was exposed to that, but I just, you know, it didn't sit with me. My formative years, I was taught to be myself. I was taught to be strong in what I liked and to always be kind to everybody. And and even more so, to be kind to somebody that I thought was suffering or needed extra care or attention or help. So just to kind of preface it with that, my mother was a huge influence on that. So I managed to kind of deal with it because I was confident, and I feel that I was taught to really embrace my strengths and be who I was and not be intimidated by somebody else who had a strength because I was unique, and we all have different things.
Sure.
By the time I got to high school, I think that hormones came into play. I think that perhaps my environment at home was a little bit different, and I think I lost a little bit of myself and my power. And when the bullying started, because, again, I was, you know, I wore sparkly leg warmers when nobody was wearing leg warmers, and I wore my hair in a bun on top of my head, you know, and I wore my heart on my sleeve, which I think in a female pool is just is not so good, because I think women are taught to find people's weaknesses to make themselves feel better and to attack the weak person. So I really struggled, and, you know, I just got to the breaking point where I told my mother, I mean, I was slammed against lockers, and I was hit with books. I was name called constantly. I remember stones being thrown at me.
Oh, my God.
During gym. I wasn't good at gym. I didn't like gym. I was a dancer, you know, but sports were a big thing. And, again, I wore my heart on my sleeve. So if somebody hurt me, I showed weakness, and I cried, and so it perpetuated. So anyway, my mom finally, I just said, you know, I can't go on anymore. If really, I didn't think I could go on anymore, in that environment, but just in general. And my mom took a stand, and she pulled me out half day of my junior year and sent me to a school that specialized in different vocations. And I went to a drama, section. And I really feel that that probably really saved me. I think that it certainly saved my life at that point. But You know, not to take up too much time because so many people have things to say, but I just don't understand if people are, if they're disabled, why not give them more help?
Yeah.
If they are elderly, why not have more patience, give them more attention? Somebody looks like they're lonely and doesn't have a friend, why not be that friend? I really think that if we, and we have to have strength within ourselves and confidence and happiness to be able to do those things.
Yeah.
And perhaps if we are taught that from our families,
yeah.
from good friends leading example, and from leaders, all type of leaders, celebrities, all the way up to the president, you know, and anywhere in between, perhaps if more of us do it, it is something that will catch on. And I can only say that it's how I'm raising my daughter to be true to who she is. And I'm leading by example. I'm being kind and having empathy. And it's nothing that's false or phony. And to this day, ladies, and I bet you all of you have felt this way, I'm still learning and I'm still experiencing bullying in every aspect of my life, and I'm just navigating through it.
Wow.
Well, can I ask a question? Sorry. How are you experiencing bullying now? And I don't know your age. How old are you now? How are you experiencing?
I'm in my mid 40s, and being a mom, I'm experiencing mothers that are so either, I don't want to generalize, but they're feeling empty or they're living vicariously through their children,
mm-hmm.
but they are trying to create an environment where they're wanting to run the school, wanting to run the social aspects of their children. And I'm finding that for a lot of moms, if you don't follow this way, you're going to be outcast. You're going to be pushed out of PTO, or you're going to be pushed out of social gatherings. If your child doesn't dress like other children,
right.
if your child doesn't join cheerleading, you know, then your child could be ostracized. My friends are not able to be the classroom parent because of these political things. So for me, I'm finding ways to just say, no, that doesn't work for me to kind of join that bandwagon.
Not for me.
It's
not for me.
You know, I'm just going to be who I am. I'm going to help in ways that I can. And I'm going to hope, but by being friendly to everyone and giving my daughter the encouragement to kind of lead her way, that other people are going to do the same. And I'm just going to kill them with kindness. Because at the end of the day, I feel that helps to soften.
Did any of you ever watch the HBO special Secret Little Lies? It just won the Emmy, actually.
Oh, yeah.
I know. I never got to see it.
Oh,
It's exactly, it's really basically, there's a lot of bullying in that. And where the kids learn it is they all learn it from their home.
But that's exactly where, it's always what goes
around
the dinner
table. I don't know who said yes and watched it. Who said yes and watched it?
I watched
May Rob.
It was phenomenal because in the beginning of the show, I mean, you find out somebody dies.
Yeah.
And then we don't know, like, who killed them and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But in the interim, we take it to the end, you know, with every episode, and we see that a girl is bullied in school and she's picked on and she's this and that. And we don't know who does it because the new kid that came into the school is the one that's always, because he has got no money, he's the one that's blamed. But in the end, it's the other kid that saw his father beat his mother up and think that's just a normal way of living. It's a big case of bullying. It's an excellent, excellent series if you ever get to watch it. You have to watch it. But
yeah,
then what happened?
Season 2 coming. Season 2
yes,
coming.
Yes, I know. I am so looking forward to it.
Yeah, it was supposed to be, you know, a one-time, you know, flick, and because it was so successful, they're coming
actually, the two women, Nicole Kidman, and what's her name again? Reese Witherspoon wrote this whole thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that I didn't know.
Yeah. They both wrote this whole thing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was based on the book, actually, Big Little Lies.
Yes, right. But then they, you know, they had this whole thing. They produced it. I'm sorry. They produced the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. No, and their own take and spin off. And
exactly.
Absolutely.
But I really think that bullying really, really stems from insecurities.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Of course. Of course
that's
it does.
That's really, really what it stems from. It's, you know, nobody's evil in the root. Nobody's born evil. It's really about, you know, self-insecurities. And obviously,
yeah.
If your parents are insecure, and as a child, you're like a sponge, so you absorb all those
yeah.
energies from them, and you just become that, and you don't even know why, and you think, oh, this is who I am, you know, I'm an evil, and that's it. So it's kind of like, you know, a very vicious cycle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know,
for
I'm
sure.
going to bring Nancy into this because Nancy and myself and Elite, we're pretty much the same generation.
Mm-hmm.
And we are of the one parent always being in the house. So, you know, the father always went out, and there was a mother that was home, and the mother usually didn't work. Usually. That's
yeah,
what
right.
that's,
didn't work.
But that's what happened in those days. But you had that coffee clutch. You had the other women coming into the house, and you had your young kids hearing catty conversation. Now, my mother, I have to may her soul rest, was part of it. I heard it on the periphery, but later she would always say, well, you don't make fun of this, you don't make fun of that. But see, this is what I'm saying. The generations before us dictate the ones that are coming up. So years ago, women really didn't have as much to do as they do now. So what do? They had coffee clutches, and they talked about people. And this,
yeah.
my favorite quote of all time, I think, is from Eleanor Roosevelt, who was a hero of mine. It's, great minds talk about things, small minds talk about people.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
this is what women, and I'm not dismissing the women that raised us. Believe me, I'm not. But with nothing else to talk about, you're left to your own devices, and what happens? You talk about the neighbor who is doing this or someone who gained weight. And unfortunately, we inherit that dialogue of cattiness. And that's why I'm bringing Nancy into this, because you and me and Elite, we're pretty much in the same age. And
no.
this is what we heard growing up.
Well, no, I'm gonna interject for a minute. So I didn't hear that because I'm like you all know my mom. I'm one of 11, and you know my mom didn't even have time to have coffee. So I never heard that. And actually, it was quite opposite. I remember my mom gathering all the neighborhood women together to teach them exercise in the basement, and she had changed the basement up into sort of what it looked like a little exercise studio. So I have only a positive memory of my mother and her interactions with the neighbors and things like that. I didn't hear any of the cattiness. But I want to go back to Winter's statement about, you know, you and with your daughter in school. So 59 and my son, when he was in grade school, I was the only divorced mother in the entire school. So I was an outcast. And none of the mothers would talk to me. And it was very difficult for me at that time. And my son was in a very good, it was a private school up in Andover, Mass. But I was the only divorced woman, and it was very difficult. And I was outcasted from all those stupid, I don't want to swear.
No.
Stupid, stupid PTA. I never got involved because Winter, I felt the same. I'm like, I don't care about any of this. And I remember I lived in Lowell, which is, you know, a city outside of Boston, which is not as affluent as Andover, Mass., where all George's friends lived. And I remember him saying to me, Mom, and we lived in an apartment because I was a single mom, and he said, Mom, can we move to Andover? And I said, we will never move to Andover. We are who we are. We don't do what others do. We are our own people. So, Winter, to your point, I did the same thing. And I had a tough time. I got through it, but it wasn't fun either.
No.
To get to your point, it wasn't fun.
You know,
but
hopefully you know what you did is you taught your son, and you have no idea, or maybe you do. You helped a girlfriend, and you know she then got strength from your behavior. And I think
yes,
that,
as a matter of fact, yes,
right?
It happened.
It creates a better energy flow. And I really need to say, there could be people in my present community listening, but or they will. But honestly, I live in a great town, and the degree of which I'm starting to witness this is pretty subtle. But you know what? It's everywhere. And in some places, it's just, you know, to a greater extent. But I do notice that, you know, people only know what they're taught.
That's
and
exactly
they're
right.
frightened sometimes to maybe act from what they feel. And so if someone's brave and somebody starts something, people will join. And you can always find a way to, I think, be true to yourself. And, you know, the PTA and the PTO and the whole hoopla, it's important because you want your children to be recognized and
sometimes
and favoritism.
You're just not into that. Yeah, it's just not
you
into that.
You can show it in other ways, and you can be involved in other ways, or you can just keep your foundation at home solid.
Yeah.
And you know,
yeah,
so,
and that's what I chose to do. I didn't get involved in any of this stuff at all, and I was there for my son. But don't forget, I had to work, which none of the mothers had to work, and I was a pastry chef at the time, and I couldn't go to every play. I couldn't go to everything. And you know what? My mother never went to any of my stuff. I mean, how could she?
How could she?
You're okay. And like you just said, as long as your foundation at home is solid, loving, giving, and kind, you're good to go. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't. So I'm just going to say one more thing, then I'll let someone else talk. But I go to yoga every day, as you guys know, at Pure Yoga here on the Upper West Side. And I see these women with their young kids and click, clack, click, clack. And does yours do this? And does yours do that? And did you do the summer reading? And one of them said to me, Nancy, do you believe they made, you know, the kids do all this reading and stuff? And I said, so what's wrong with reading a book during the summer or two? And I said,
it's been happening forever,
said,
but these mothers don't want to keep on them. That's the problem.
No, and they did. And they said, we gave our kids a pass of not to do it. If we didn't do our summer reading, yes.
What is that?
If we didn't do our summer reading,
they're going to be questioned on the book.
I couldn't believe it.
No, they gave themselves
a
pass, not the kids.
Yes, exactly.
No, they gave the kids a pass. You don't have to read the book. We had to go to our room every day and read for an hour. Whether you read or not, you had to go to your room and read.
Absolutely.
I mean, that was just a no-brainer. But I'm beyond. So I see all this crapola happening, you know, with these young mothers. It's insane. But anyway, I got off subject. Sorry.
No. You know, I think that what parents should teach, and in either gender, it's not gender specific. And one thing that I got from my mother is you teach empathy, and you just teach somebody to walk a mile in somebody else's shoes, and that humanizes the other person that you might see as a
important.
Villain. You
very
might
important.
See as a villain. You know, I have a niece who was bullied in high school, and she's probably the sweetest human being I ever met. And she was bullied because of her weight. And I remember she was going, we went to a store one day, and she was going, Aunt Lori, what do you, show me what you eat. And I have a very clean diet. And I just said, and we were talking about different things, and the subject of cheerleaders came up. And she goes, oh, I hate cheerleaders, blah, blah, blah. And I said, now listen to me. You can't assume that just because they look a certain way, that means they're happy.
Right.
Everybody has something. Mm-hmm. You might not be able to see it. They might not give it to you and let you know that they're vulnerable. But you have to – everybody has something. They might not tell you. And just if you see there's some sort of human frailty, walk a mile in their shoes and see what it's like to be them. And that will put you on the same level as them. And that's what they think the best thing you could do for anybody.
Yeah.
You know, because everybody has something. It's just a matter of what. Mm-hmm. But like I was saying before, when we become that pail of crabs, climbing over each other to get out, I think that's when humanity is lost.
Mm-hmm.
And especially our species, women, who are taught to nurture. We are taught to be the peacemakers. So that's why when you see a movie like Mean Girls, it's just like, are we kidding?
But again, it all goes back to, you know, the house, the household.
I understand.
It all does. It all goes back to the household. No. And if you're not taught into the right way of treating people or being nice to each other or having a two-family home or one-family home,
you know,
it's all the dynamic of what happens in the house. And if they don't have respect for each other or don't have respect for oneself, they're not going to go out there and do that to other people. They're going to be the opposite. You know
right.
what I'm saying? They need to be taught in the house, no matter if you're male or female.
Absolutely.
That's
absolutely.
The way
respect
it goes.
For
respect
your fellow
for
man.
Exactly.
Exactly.
That's exactly right.
And I wonder if some people have more. Oh, so sorry. But
no, no, go
some
ahead.
People, are some people born with more empathy, or is it learned behavior? Is it somewhere in between? But I'll tell you, my mother, you know, I remember her giving our clothes to this, in particular in this private school. This private school tend to collect all the children that didn't mainstream. But I was in it because my parents were like, well, we're not religious at all, and this is a religious school, so we're going to give her a few years of religion, and then we're going to put her back in the mainstream. So anyway, there were so many different colors and types and personalities and really some disabilities. But my mom was clothing the people that didn't have money for clothes,
sure.
and she was
That's
teaching
wonderful.
Me to be extra kind and helping, you know, play with the kids that maybe weren't played with because, you know, they couldn't do a particular thing. So I learned from her, but I also have got to tell you that my heart would break. It would feel such sadness if I saw someone even look unhappy.
Yes.
So
yes.
I think it's a combo of both, and we're not perfect. Being a parent is hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of times I think, you know, you mentioned how the women were complaining about this and complaining about that. I think sometimes the mothers, about what their kids have to do, we're so scared that our kids aren't going to do well and be able to complete the assignments or excel at this and that, and so frightened that it means that we're not doing a good job or we're not a good enough parent, that I think cattiness and nastiness does come from fear and insecurity, as we mentioned. And the only solution really is to continue to try to be more confident in who we are, to learn more, be a little bit less browbeating to ourselves, and to have kindness and to keep, you know, striving to be better people.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to sound so, I don't know how it sounds, but isn't that better? We'll be happier, you know, and then other society will happier.
Yeah. So it comes down to self-awareness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I see people, like, you know, walking around and they blame, you know, their upbringing and they blame their life circumstances. It all stems within. It's like we need to make a decision to be better people and just to start work on ourselves.
Yeah, that's where it all comes from.
And you know what was interesting? Our guest last week, John Basedow, who's, I mean, he's been a fitness celebrity for many years. And he made a point last week that I didn't really think of.
Because we really weren't involved.
No. I think of bullying on one level. But he was saying years ago, and I think he's just maybe a little bit younger than us, bullying ended at 3 o'clock. And bullying certainly ended on a Friday afternoon.
Right, and stopped
until
Monday.
And you had that respite. And it started again on Monday. Now with social media, it doesn't friggin' stop.
It escalates on and on.
And these poor kids who years ago, not that it was great, but you went home and that was your salvation. You didn't have to deal with it till the next day or Monday. Now it's ongoing times 50,000.
Yeah.
What the hell do we do?
That's the scary part.
What the hell
do we do?
That's
the scary part. If it's bad now, just imagine in the future.
That's what I'm saying. No. We gotta.
I mean, we can't stop it now, but you know.
I think we have to put up some sort of body block.
I just think it has to do with better parenting. Better parenting. Somebody that doesn't have to work 50 hours a week, and has to support the family, and doesn't have time to give their kids attention. That is the problem these days. You have both parents or one parent that needs to work.
Okay, so now we're gonna take.
So they're looking for attention. What is bullying? That's looking for attention.
But it, you know what?
Needing attention. Look at me.
No,
look what I'm doing.
I have to disagree.
Why?
I liked attention growing up.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't
it's
take it out
because
on other
you had
human
more
beings.
Empathy in
but,
yourself.
But no, but see, there's got to be something that the parent is giving
right.
off
right.
that is making their child
what?
Feed on
I,
the shortcomings of
I
somebody
totally
else.
Get
that's
it.
What
I totally get it.
Yeah,
that's
but
what
you know
by
what
the
I,
way,
Liz,
she still needs attention.
I do
go
need
ahead.
No, I know. We can tell. No,
thank
but listen,
you.
No. I'm just going to jump in here. So I think this all leads to the attention thing. So I'm going to give you another example of my yoga studio. So one of the mothers who's a bit younger than me tried to introduce me to her son, and I'm getting to the point. I'll show you.
Not fix you
and
up,
the,
right?
The son, this what?
Not fix you up, right?
No, no, no. So the son is like 9 years old. The son is 9 years old.
Shut up, Elise. Go ahead.
No, honestly. So the son is 9, and he's sitting with his mom, you know, he's plugged in. And she introduced me, Nancy, this is my son, whatever his name is, Sam. She said, unplug. The kid didn't take the earplugs out of his ears. He didn't even acknowledge me, didn't even look at me. If
right.
that was my son, and I'll get to my point, I would have wrapped him over the head.
Right.
Anyway, it was always look in the eyes and respect. And the point of this is,
yeah.
it's the parents' fault because they're not – they're not giving the kids attention because they're letting the kids be plugged in, plugged in, plugged in. And
exactly.
then they're looking at all this stuff on Instagram. So this is – they're not even communicating with their kids
yeah.
about
that's
any of this.
That's the problem these days. Yeah, that's the
they're
problem.
They're not.
Right.
No, they're not. I couldn't even believe it. I swear to you, when George was 3 years old, someone said, hey, George, how are you? And he didn't look at them. I would be on him, look at you and say hello.
Exactly.
Da-da-da-da-da-da. But the problem is lack of communications between parents and kids. I mean, they're plugged in all day long. Winter, I don't know about your kids, but I just,
oh,
I was biting my tongue.
I was literally biting my tongue because everything you're saying is so accurate. However, it's such a challenge because, boy, do I talk about this to my mom, my dad, and my sister all the time. They're always at me. We weren't raised with iPads and computers and Facebook and
yeah.
You know,
neither one of us were.
No.
None of us
it
were.
It just wasn't. So here's the thing. It is a part of this. It is the kids' reality. It is impossible to, for me, to be 100% attentive to my kid all day long. And I would be unhappy if I didn't do some work that's fulfilling to me and some other things because I do believe it makes me a better parent.
Mm-hmm.
So I slipped a little bit. I think I let my children, specifically my youngest, because she's second and you had even two, right? Well, 11, I have no idea how your mom did it, but I slipped a little. I think that I used the iPad as the crutch. I think that he turned to other things to fill a void. And now I think I'm on a better track. I think it's balanced. I think that it's okay for them to use the technology that's, I think, you know, it's weird. They're going to get outcasted if they're not on a little bit, not now when they're 9, but when they're in high school from Instagram because all their friends are on it. And they get left out, and then they're out of the loop. So you figure out, all right, so I guess I have to monitor it. I have to keep a balance. I have to stay
yeah.
involved.
Mm-hmm.
But it's challenging. It's unfair to say that, you know, it's the root of all evil and you just shouldn't let them use it because it's just not a reality, you know. But
well, no, I'm not saying that. And you know, I'm just going to go back to when Ira was raising George, there wasn't any of this stuff. And I have to say and admit that I did use the TV when I needed to get some done, which is basically the same thing.
Listen, you have a life, too. Everybody has their downtime.
Yeah, which is basic. I had to have them watch TV while I made dinner, while I did this, da-da-da-da-da. And it's sort of paralleling to being plugged in. So, but I just, and you know what? I wouldn't want to raise a child in this day and age, and I commend all you that have children, because I think it's so difficult. But – But there is still a level of respect when you're introducing somebody. That's a different. That's a whole different topic. So
that doesn't change.
Yeah. I mean, you know. So that's my point, because you know, and I let him play video games at a certain time. I gave him an hour to do this, and, you know, because video games was the thing that the kids did back in our day or George's day. So that, you know, and I would allow him to do A, B, and C at a certain time. But you know, I'm not, and I just don't know how you would do it these days. Anyway, I think it's super difficult. I just think it's insane.
I think every generation had its challenges. Certainly,
yeah. No.
You know?
No.
Go ahead, Winter.
I say to myself, the biggest influence on these kids are, and not to keep bringing up children, but we said it in the beginning, bullying a lot of the time starts from what's their biggest examples, what's going on at home. I say to myself, okay, how much am I on the iPad? How much, or usually it's the phone. Well, if I'm on it all the time, they're going to be on it all the time. If they're trying to talk to me and I'm looking at my phone and barely listening, well, they're going to do it to me. Most importantly, how am I treating outside people? Am I having conversations? Am I looking in the eye? Am I being present in society and the people around me? And I hope from what I'm seeing that my kids are doing a good job of it outside of the home. I think inside of the home, it's a little bit where they kind of let it go, and I'm working on that too. But I guess leading by example, it's really no different than generations before. It's just different. Just like Lori said, different, and Elite said, different challenges. Just leading by example, doing the best job that I can.
Because
I don't want to be a walking zombie either. I mean, my goal is to literally live in the happiest state that I can as much as possible. That sounds so weird to some people, but maybe only because they're so far out of touch as to how to achieve
happiness.
A happy state.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Just happiness.
I just constantly search, and that's my journey, and I hope that you know, I can pass it on to my kids. And I learned that from my parents and also mentors and people that I look up to. And that's, you know, hopefully what I'll give to my kids, you know. I mean, my little girl dresses like a boy. She only plays with boys. She completely has her own thing. I just embrace it. Just be a good girl. Be a kind to other people. And let's deal with it as it progresses in your grade level and how girls respond.
Well, I was I dressed like a boy, Winter, growing up. I think we talked about this on another show. I only wore jeans, and when all the boys took their shirts off in the summer, I took mine off. I thought it was a little boy. So wanted hair and my jeans to be torn. I wanted to be just like a boy. So, and here I am. But it's all cool, and, you know, I had seven brothers, so what do you expect? But anyway.
You know, there's a football player, and I can't remember his name now, that was just under fire because his son, I'm going to look it up later. But you just sparked something in my memory. His son, who is 8 years old, only wants to wear dresses. And he says, I support him. He goes to school in dresses. And he,
really?
Yeah. Oh, I forgot what. And the NFL.
Know. I couldn't be okay with that.
Why not? Your son
going to school
with dresses?
Well, no, you have
dresses?
To be these.
Now, why is that a problem?
No, you have to be.
Listen, ladies, do you agree with me or you agree with her?
I agree with Lori.
Thank you. You would let your son wear dresses to school? I mean, it's just like a target on their back.
But
now, wait a second. If we want to create a society that's accepting,
listen,
we have to allow these things
to be. I'm protecting my son, my daughter,
I
whatever she
that.
No, it's a very short-term protection. For the long term, you're hurting him. It's difficult.
Yes.
It's definitely a difficult
it's
decision.
Difficult.
Yeah,
it's difficult.
Really
yeah, I'm just trying
depends.
To, like, not make him
it
get in trouble.
It depends on the circumstances. I really think it depends on the circumstances. It depends what kind of school he's going to,
yes.
How supportive is the environment, the teachers. It's a village. It takes a village,
right.
And you don't just do
right.
it on
you
a
create,
whim. I think, Yes. You have you have to build, you know, a support system around it. But again, suppressing it on the spot, I think, will lead into a long-term issues because you're just suppressing it. It's almost like putting a Band-Aid on a broken leg.
I wouldn't care if you wore him at home. I just didn't want him to get in trouble in school and get, you know. The whole thing is, this is just like the young lady who 3 years ago sued her college because they wouldn't let her play on with the boys on college football.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, sometimes you have to sacrifice one person to move a movement forward.
I totally
and
get it.
Look,
totally
I'm not a parent,
it.
So it's very hard for me to say I would want to protect my child. But
that would be the only reason.
But also, this football player is not you and me. He's got millions of dollars behind him, so his kid is going to a special school where he could platform and champion this for his child.
I understand, but those special schools are the worst.
But wait a second.
Those are the worst.
But he's got.
Why do you say that, though, Elite? Why?
I just
think
that's worse. The more high scale the person, you know, the more high scale the school, the more uptight these kids are.
I think you could use your celebrity as a platform and say, you know something? And this doesn't make his son gay.
No.
I don't care
about the son. Let him wear what he wants to wear.
But this is what he's trying to say. My son should wear what he's comfortable. And the little girl dressed like a boy should
do that. I don't care about that.
But what I'm trying to
say is, that's not the issue. I'm trying to protect my son as he goes to school.
Protecting your son, holding his hand and saying, I'm going to stand with you. This is what you want. Mama's right here. That's protecting your son.
Listen, I just don't want my son to be beat up.
I totally agree. Believe me, I agree.
That's all it's about.
But I think
Go ahead. Well, to Lori's point and to Elite's point of wanting to protect, a bully does not want to bully the strong person. The bully wants to bully the weak because they can. So, and my son is involved in a beautiful school in Englewood, Tiger Shulman's Mixed Martial Arts.
Right.
He was bullied simply because he was new last year, and he bullied every day for three months. And finally, you know, they said at Tiger Shulman's, either you retaliate and you get aggressive in your words, and if that doesn't work, you get a little bit aggressive without punching and shed blood, but I've taught you how to kind of get him to the ground, buckle the knees and say stop it and show your strength. You're never going to, they told him he'll get picked on for the rest of his life. So not to be extreme, but perhaps protecting the son is to teach them, here are the consequences of wearing the dress. You're going to get teased, so here's how you need to handle yourself. To my son, if you want to continue to get picked on, just don't say anything. But if you want to stand up for yourself, we feel this is going to work. Here are the tools. We support you. We said, I'm going to get in trouble. I'm not allowed to do that. Yeah. We stand by you. We will talk to your principal. We've told the guidance counselor, the principal, your teachers, what's going on. And at the end of the day, you'll get in trouble maybe one day. But guess what? It'll help you for, you know. So a bully will bully the weak. So we teach, we have to be strong, right? That can help protect our children. We can only do so much, but
right. I mean, you know, the environment is half, and we are the other half, you know. We could just build the foundation until they go out and do it on their own. There's just so much we can do. But I will try to protect as much as I can so they don't go out and get picked on constantly.
Totally agree.
I'm just against it. I mean, I've been bullied. My daughter's been bullied.
I know
the feeling of it.
You
don't.
Believe me, I know. But what I'm trying to say is, to incorporate change, to move forward.
I understand.
Sometimes we got to do the tough stuff.
Yeah.
And sometimes we have to do, you know, it's like, okay, this is different, but you and me, we're going to stand together, and we're going to be part of the change.
See, my problem is I never think that one person can change all this.
Oh, baby
because
doll.
I'm just, you know.
Oh, no.
But it's true. I know it
one
can.
Person
I can.
Can change everything.
One person adds another person, and then
right. I totally get that. But I'm always... Don't you feel like you stand alone a lot sometimes?
That's
I feel
okay,
like
though.
I stand alone.
But that's
so.
It's okay.
Yeah, but if you stand alone, you got everybody else against
when
you.
When you're standing alone on principle, you got all you need. Oh, you got all you need.
Yeah.
I always stand alone on principle, but.
And that's the thing. I mean, look, is it a challenge? Is it hard? Absolutely.
Yeah, it's very hard.
I mean, think about things that happened in history because of one person, Rosa Parks. Refusing to get up out of her seat.
No, I totally get it.
She changed history. Yeah. And think about that. This was a black woman who had no say, no voice in the 50s saying, I'm not going to give up my seat. But she said, you know what? Frig this. I'm not.
Right.
Changed history. Not
that
just
one
then.
Person. Yeah, that one
but
person.
But she was part
it
of
took
the
a little
movement.
Bit. Yeah. Took a little bit.
But that's what we're doing.
And I don't believe you'll stand alone for very long.
No.
I don't think so. And of course, we have to be careful. But I don't believe we'll stand alone for very long. We have to take change. In order to make change, we have to be a little bit fearless.
Courageous.
My daughter was told she couldn't be on the boys' soccer team. This was last week. And she was the face fell. And I could tell she wasn't comfortable. The girls, she's not as friends with them. And mommy, it's not fun. And we went up to the coach and, can Skaya play on the boys' team? And he said, Skaya, are you going to play or are you going to keep running over to your mother? She said, I'm going to play. Go ahead. So she played with the boys. She was elated. Now, I will tell you, Saturday, they said to my husband, Skaya can play on the boys' team, but we're afraid she's going to get injured. My husband said to them, well, I think that the boys should be worried about my daughter.
There you go.
So, you know.
That's cute.
And
that's funny.
We have to take a stand a little bit. And why should the boys and girls be separated if someone's strong? Okay, a lot of boys are stronger than girls. Some girls are just as strong, right?
Exactly.
It just depends on the individual.
Yeah, right. I just saw the Billie Jean King movie.
How was it?
It was fantastic, to your point, Winter. But it was amazing. A little bit long, but it just to
Which
Winter's
movie?
Point. Billie Jean
Billie
beat
Jean
the
King.
You know, Billie Jean King beat
What's
Bobby
it called
Riggs.
Again? Wiggs. Oh, I forgot what it's called.
I don't know. I just saw it the other night. I went to the preview.
Sorry, you don't remember the name.
Scary one that just came out. I want to see that. It's like kind of scary or not? The new movie you're talking about.
No, this is the
movie
about
Billie Jean King.
Bobby Riggs.
No, it's a true story. It's about Billie Jean coming out in the tennis circuit.
Oh.
So, it's pretty interesting. And to your point,
isn't it Battle of the Sexes?
Battle of the Sexes.
There we go.
Battle of the Sexes. Yeah, it's pretty good, and it's great. It's
worth
good. Yeah. Emma Stone did an amazing job.
It doesn't even look like her.
I know.
Man,
I know.
She did a good job on that.
And Steve Carell is
Bobby
Riggs.
I
love
him. He was fantastic.
Yeah, he's a very good actor.
Yeah.
And I still remember the headlines in the Daily News. When the Daily News was 5 cents, King beats Riggs. I'll never forget. And it was a whole big thing. And Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs were friends, and I think she was the godmother of one of his kids. But they both were part of changing history. And it was 1973?
Yeah, it was 1973.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow.
That was a big thing.
No.
That was a big thing.
Yeah, it was huge. It was huge. But anyways, that's just to Winter's point that, the boys better watch out for your daughter.
Yeah.
Well, or how about, she's not going to be the only one. She can't be the only one that wants to, during the recreation camp, do Legos instead of crafts. Why should the girls do crafts and the boys do Legos only? No, her friends are in Legos. She wanted to do Legos, and they switched her. I mean, let's open it up a little bit. And I am never, ever looking down on the people that are running the organizations. Most of the time are trying to make everyone happy, the parents happy. So they're just going on what has worked in the past.
That's exactly right.
Right? Because these are great people, honestly, who I'm dealing with. But sometimes it's just not going to be, and it doesn't have to be exactly the way society has made it for females and men, or, you know, change is so, I feel it in the air in this right now. There's a lot of scary stuff with change, but there's also a lot of good stuff with some of the change.
Yeah, because we're all creatures of habit.
Yeah, and you know what? That's our comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, what most of the hostility comes up. Well, this is the way it was, and we shouldn't change. Well, you know what? Amendment rights were written when we, you know, our forefathers had to defend their land with guns. It's very different now. So we definitely have to change the tone to suit today's texture.
Yeah.
And I think that's what scares a lot of people.
Well, it's going to change. Like, I think it's going to change every 5-10 years.
It should,
you know?
And we should be okay
and
with
hopefully,
it.
Hopefully, no, I'm sure it's going to be on a better fit, you know, better for us.
Oh, yeah.
But it's going to change. It doesn't stay the same. It never does.
But you know something, and again, speaking for the young women and the young men, it's got to be very hard for a parent to say to a child, well, to my son, well, you can't take sewing, even if he wants crocheting. Why? Well, that's just because you can't.
Nowadays, what I'm trying
to say is, to come back to your child with that, it doesn't make sense. And as a parent,
to speak to what Winter
is doing, you have to challenge it.
Right.
Because what you're creating is you're disseminating the same toxic information that won't be good for your child in the long run.
Whether it's usually the man that says that. Oh, what do you mean you're going to be sewing? You're not going to be sewing.
Right, you'll be a wussy.
That's right.
That's exactly
don't
right.
Don't do that. You're not my son if you do that.
It's harder.
Right.
And they just, they're afraid to express, you know, so it's, and it does tie into the battle of the sexes, really does tie into bullying, because a lot of times we're taught to be one way, and if we're not, we get bullied. But, you know, again, it just goes back to supporting who your child is. And if you didn't get that opportunity, find people that will, right? Find friends, find mentors, find teachers that will. I don't believe it's ever too late. I don't know. I'm so drawn to the underdog.
I think all of us here are drawn to the underdog because we have that in us. We have all that empathy, and we have the desire to help everybody. It's just, it's within us. That's why we're here.
And because we realize we all are underdogs at one point in our lives.
Yeah. I mean, when none of us are perfect. None of us have everything,
right.
You know. When we know how to treat people.
Yeah.
So,
Laura, you mentioned the beginning of Carrie. I got to tell you, when I was in third grade, I watched a very overweight girl going through puberty early. I watched her bra snapped, female personal items being thrown at her. I mean, tormented. And I got to tell you something.
Oh.
If my mother found out that I did that, to someone, that's when I would have been beaten to a pulp with either her words or which her tongue was sharper than ever a hand.
Yeah.
So that's where, again, we have to be on top of that. And Carrie was from a way back. Well, my elementary school, not that far back. And, you know, that stuff happens, but that is not acceptable. And as parents and as adults, that just cannot be tolerated. And that's one thing I know I can do well as a parent. I might slack with the iPad usage and really strict with certain things, but that's just not acceptable, you know. So we can make a difference to stop that, but it exists, and it's mind-blowing.
Yeah, I mean, that part of the movie, I remember the first time I saw it, it took my breath away because it's just like that is just the worst. Yeah. I mean, a young woman who is at her most vulnerable, she thinks she's bleeding to death, and you're throwing tampons on her, and you're humiliating her. That has to be, unless something else happens to her, the lowest point of her formative years, the lowest point of her psyche.
Yeah.
Why would you why would you ever think that that's okay to do to another human being?
You know, it's funny. Take it back to, you know, the girls' locker room. I had a huge fight. I mean, I had this rivalry with this fat girl. Her name was Diane. So I forgot her last name, but she always had this bully aspect of me. I had to do her homework all the time. All the time. And I wasn't even a smart kid, but I had to do her homework because if she didn't, she beat me up.
Oh, baby.
So, of course, I said, I'm not taking this bullshit no more. That's it. I'm done. I'm not doing your homework no more. So we had the same gym class. We had almost basically the same classes all the time. So she caught me in the gym locker room, and she says, oh, you don't want to do my homework anymore, huh?
Wow.
So she started beating the crap out of me.
And you were big then.
She was bigger. Not tall. But she was
heavy.
just big. And you know, when you're big like that, you're strong. And
she just
threw me on. I'm not a fighter.
And you're a gentle person.
I'm not a fighter.
No, you're not.
So she threw me on the floor, got on top of me, and I'm saying, oh, boy. Between her and probably everybody rooting for her, I'm dead.
Oh, no.
But you know what happened?
No.
Everybody said, get off of her. You're going to kill her, you fat piece of
beef.
Oh, you're kidding.
Everybody hated her. They hated her.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, people are sticking up for me.
Good.
I couldn't believe it.
You know what? Maybe she learned something from that.
After that, we became best friends.
There you go.
That's what happened after that.
Why did she pick on you? Why?
Because I was just that kind of person that I was very easy to pick on. I was
quiet
at the time. I'm very, like, easygoing. I'm nice.
Yeah.
And I'll do anything for you until, you know, you take advantage of me and I don't take it anymore.
Yeah.
And that's what I did.
No.
I'm not doing
your homework
constantly. I don't even want to do my own. I'm going to
do
yours.
Forget it.
Get out of here.
I'm glad you had a happy ending to that.
Yeah, we became best friends.
That was terrible. And she was probably being picked on all the time, so she targeted you.
Yeah, because everybody hated her. They hated her.
Oh.
I always try to look her up, and I can't find her. I always try to look her up,
Wow. You know, it's really, I mean, you think about, bullies have been bullied.
No.
And as you know, I
all
always try to say, look, you have to look, because to be that person, there's a hollowness to your soul. There's something that's driving you
missing.
To feed that. And that's why I said in the beginning, I'm fortunate never to have witnessed anything like that, but I'm also fortunate I've never had to do that to anybody because that's something about your
I always
character.
Tell Lori she's very lucky because, A, she's never been a product of bullying.
No.
B, you've never been a product of, you know, racism.
No.
Okay,
no.
Because you're just in the middle of everything.
Yeah, I'm...
You're just, that's why you're such a liberal person, because you know what it feels like. You see what it is.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure whoever's on this panel, I mean, I know Mirov's Jewish. You're Jewish, Winter, right?
Yeah.
I mean, not, actually. But I'm sort of, I just embrace the religions.
I've been a product of racism.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a product of, you know,
anti-Semitism.
No.
You know, and bullying, so it's just very hard to grasp, you know, how people really should be, because I've been on both spectrums of the panel here, you know?
Of course. Well, see, that's the thing. When you're a victim, the hardest thing in the world to do is to turn around and not do it to somebody else.
Right.
That's
the
hardest thing. But that's what we hope people could say, well, you know what?
Right.
I remember what it's like, and I'm not going to do that to another human being.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't do that. Most people say, well, you know, now it's not me, and it's going to be somebody else.
Right.
And that's I think, the worst route to take.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We need to be strong, not jump on the bandwagon with other people.
No.
If someone's being bullied, be strong, stick up for them. And if you can't, I've always said this to Jake, if you can't, if that person's being physically harmed, you get somebody.
Absolutely.
If they're being verbally picked on and you feel you can't stand up to them, you make sure that you take yourself and anybody that you're friendly with and you don't get involved.
Exactly.
And if more people do that, you know, there's less power to the bully. You don't jump on the bandwagon. That's what we have to teach our children, to be strong.
Yeah. And to be that one person that could be in the crowd and says, stop it. Stop it.
Stick up for somebody else.
That's the hardest thing to do. You have 10 people saying yay and that one person saying nay, but that's the person you want to be.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So, ladies, before you go, I want to go from Winter to Nancy to Mirab. Is there anything you want to plug, anything you want to say about anything you're doing?
Sure. You know, it actually it ties right into your show because people with developmental disabilities have been probably bullied a lot in their lives. But anyway, on Tuesday, September 26th, which is this Tuesday, I'm involved in a benefit to raise money for these people to get housing.
And, nice, good for you.
Yeah, so I'm really excited to be dancing in it. And just to put it out there to anybody who's listening, all you have to do is go to Bergen County's United Way and look up the benefits for people with developmental disabilities Tuesday, September 26th. They can make a donation. They can go. They can see an amazing magician, and I'm ribbon dancing with a bunch of girls and have a great food.
Oh, that's lovely.
Oh, is that nice?
So, look, it ties right into the show.
Yeah, we'll post that.
Yeah, you give me all the information.
We'll advertise
all that. That's wonderful stuff.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Nancy, I want to talk about a body buffer.
Oh, God, Lori.
I want to talk about a body buffer.
So where is my body buffer, Nancy? Where's my body buffer?
Oh,
I need
it's
a buff
coming.
Body.
Trust me, it's coming, you ladies. It's coming. So I just want to—I know you all know about my product, but I'll just give a little shout out. My company is Belcore Body Buffer. I partner along with four doctors from Boston, another businesswoman from Boston as well. It's a beauty wellness tool that helps with muscle recovery, muscle soreness, lymphatic drainage, cellulite control, exfoliation, blood circulation, and it also. Yeah, and it's handheld electrical device, and it's Belcore.com. But thank you very much for asking.
And you were in a magazine, wasn't I? Now, first, let me thank before we let these ladies off the two men that pushed the show. You know, it's all female. Jeffrey Saunders is always Jeffrey Saunders PR.
Mm-hmm.
He's always posting Belcore, and so and he's always anytime Nancy's on the show, he's always posting. So thank you, Jeffrey. We love you.
Yes.
And John Pietero for our end, New Masses Media. He's always pushing our show. But you were in. Didn't Belcore get written up in a couple different magazines recently?
Oh yeah, no. Yeah, as a matter of fact, we just got written up in Grazia, UK. So we're very, very excited. And you know, all the publicity, they reach out to us and. And, you know, it's very, it's lovely because I'm on back order, as you know, and I'm waiting for product to come in. But I've just had an influx of lovely customers just being very patient, waiting for the product. And I talked to one customer yesterday, and she said, you know, Nancy, I just will wait for this product. I support, you know, small businesses, and, you know, you're doing a great job, and your customer service is great, and your reviews are great. And it made me feel really good. And so people are being very patient waiting for the product, but and thank you to all of them.
Yeah, the product is
lovely.
Worth waiting for. Yeah, that's really it.
Yeah.
Good.
So, thank
Mirav,
you.
What
you
are you
posting?
What say you, Mirav?
Well, the owner of JPI Social Media Inc., and we actually provide social media services and manages to small businesses. In order for them to be, you know, kept in the digital world loop and not to break the bank.
To be plugged in.
and we're the bank account. That's something.
Yeah, we're very small, we're very personal, and we cater the services to each business individually. So we're developing, you know, partnerships with different kind of businesses and people, and I'm learning a lot from so many great business owners, and it's fun.
Yeah,
and
so
she also did social media for Physical Advantage.
She sure did.
So that's and thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's terrific. So I'm going to connect with you through Lori. I'm just going to give you a heads up.
Oh, great.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
you're
she
welcome.
Did my social media for about 6 months. So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, she's very interactive.
Terrific.
So I think that's it.
Where's the come from?
Where's the what was that? It sounded like a winter
No, it sounded like
Nancy.
No,
I didn't say anything. I had a
I did an
so much, lady.
Okay, so there's no So I'm going to say
Thank you.
And you'll be with us next month, Yes. I'll figure out a topic.
Yes.
Because, see, I try to keep the topics varied because I
get...
Listen, ladies, is there a topic that you would like to talk about? Because this is what I get for Lee. We always talk about
that. We always talk about the same thing. Listen to me, ladies, Don't listen to her. Is there anything interesting that you would like to talk about next time?
Maybe we should just think about it, and we'll just message you.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, how about that? Right. Yeah.
We should leave it up to the round table this time.
Whatever.
How's that?
That's fine with me.
Round table topics. You go, girls. No. You're going to pick it out this time.
All right. We'll have a think on that.
Nancy Donahue, Winter Gabriel, Mirav Lavery, thank you so much for joining us. Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, girls.
And everybody's information will be on our Facebook page tomorrow. Thank you, happy Shanaf, to whoever. Happy New Year. Have a sweet New Year to all who celebrate.
Enjoy tonight.
Absolutely.
Don't overeat, okay?
Oh, here she is.
Here we go. That's the trainer in me. Go ahead.
Okay.
Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye, everybody. Thank you again.
Bye-bye. So a spirited conversation was
had by all,
baby doll.
Yes.
So what did we learn today, Elise?
Well, we learned.
It's not nice to bully.
We knew that. That's why we had this topic.
And seriously, I think that if I were teaching in a college, I think I would show Carrie, either version, but I'm always a little partial to the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And take that apart and just make a theme out of it and just take the movie apart because there was just so many things in that movie that are pertinent today. And the sad thing is, will always be. You know, maybe not as bad, but it just
like you say, every day and every year is a new beginning for everybody. So hopefully, Everybody will be kinder to each other. It would be nice to say that,
you know, you look at a film and it's like, well, this doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
I have not found a film yet that you don't see.
That's the shame part of it.
We have a couple.
But I think that's just being human beings.
You know what? It's being human beings with egos, and egos always have
to
win.
That's the problem.
And you always have to be right, and it's
ego.
It's
sometimes
sad
no empathy. Sometimes no, emotion.
Know.
You know, we're dead, and some people are dead inside. You know,
unfortunately,
and it comes all from being, the parents.
I agree.
That's our fundamental.
And again, I always try not to blame a parent because I'm not a parent.
But we are the foundation of our kids. I totally agree.
You know, we build them.
And it's up to them to stand tall.
If you're not a parent, you could still model. Whoever has your ear, a parent, I think, is the central to designing you.
It's also environment.
But you know what? Every aunt, every godmother,
it's your environment, too.
You can influence somebody.
Yes.
Any just person,
definitely.
Neighbor, can influence you.
Right.
So take your job. You know, if you have the ears, I think that the statement we're trying to make, if you have the ears of any child, of course we're going to say specifically women because it's themed to our show, but it's also the little boys.
Yeah.
If you have their ears, understand the privilege of that and understand that it's important. Anything that you say will resonate deeply. And take your job seriously.
Yeah,
and don't just,
for sure.
You know, shrug it off like it doesn't matter. Because it does matter. Because you know what?
It matters very much because they
be
listen and
molding,
hear everything and see everything you do.
And my philosophy is you could be molding a president or you could be molding a serial killer. So, take it seriously because it
really
they
say sometimes serial killers, it has nothing to do with the parents. It's just something in their genetics that went
wrong. Well, you know what? I'm going to say one thing.
Mm.
Jeffrey Dahmer certainly had many issues with him chemically, but when his parents saw him dissecting puppies,
they should have done something.
I think I would have said, wow.
Right, something's wrong with him.
You know what? I might be embarrassed. I might be this. I might be that. But this kid is going to get some help. So that's all I'm saying. Well, we have to say a little something. We have to give a little help to our sponsors. And who are we lovely?
We love a lot of people. We love Topperson the most.
We love Topperson the most. They love us. We love them. Bruises love them more. And we are with Topperson every Fitness Friday that you could think of for the past 4 years. Go on their webpage. I think Fitness Friday is also on the webpage, Topperson.com and shop there. Topperson Junior, Topperson Regular, Topperson Foot Formula.
My favorite.
Every Topperson is there.
Burn formula.
You will not
fourth
be.
Cream.
You will not be sorry.
No.
Put it in a bruise.
Seriously.
You will see the bruise go from blue black to yellow in one day.
I'm just saying, you know, put them on your feet because my feet tingle every night.
My feet tingle. Her feet hurt.
And I'm telling you, it takes it away.
It takes
it
away.
Does, and they have the fibromyalgia ones, too, and I'm
they
sure.
They have the afterburn. They have everything you could think of. Topperson.
I would like to get the fibromyalgia one.
I'm
going to
get
feet.
You know what? If that's what you're saying, if you're saying
yeah, I want to try
lovely
it.
Elite Ziegelman, all you have to do is ask.
I want.
And I deliver the good
Topperson.com.
If it's not in your store, it's online.
There we go.
Easy enough to remember. Muscle Sport Mag, they were in Vegas this year.
I saw.
Did you see
them? Yeah, I saw
them. They're cozying up to every friggin' body.
Mm-hmm.
MuscleSport.com. They're doing a lot of great things. And they support us. We support them.
Mm-hmm.
Their magazine imagery might not be for the youngins. So you know what? You pick up a copy. You look at that. You peruse the copy at your own pleasure.
Exactly.
And there's still some great, great articles in there. And it's certainly worth the $32 a year. Come
damn.
On. You can't get that. Muscle and Fitness is $12 now or something like that. Maybe I'm hitting it a little bit too hard.
It's just crazy.
It's up there.
And it's mostly ads.
We remember
that's the worst part.
Remember when you and I were buying it?
I had
Flex was $1.25.
Yeah.
Muscle Sport was
crazy.
Muscle and Fitness was $1.75.
Yeah.
So Muscle Sport Mag, check them out. You will love them. And we love the round table. We love our round table.
It's a lot of fun.
They'll be back next month. Nancy Donahue, Winter Gabriel, Mira, thank you so much for joining us. And thank you to my lovely co-host.
Who?
I don't know. Until she shows up, it's a lovely Elite Ziegelman.
Well, thank you.
It's a lovely Elite
Ziegelman. No, thank you for joining us today.
And thank you for joining us and making the show a wonderful place and a nice little array of personalities, infusion of information. That's what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Everybody's right. Nobody's wrong. And that's the beauty of today. Go out and make it a wonderful day. Go give somebody a smile who doesn't have one on their face and be productive. Be instrumental in moving mankind forward.
Exactly.
Take us home, Nina. We'll see you next week.
Got it. Bye-bye, everybody.